The gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to John. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All Saints Sunday is a day of remembrance. We turn our attention to those who have gone before us, those who we hope have somehow borne witness to God's victory over death. And so today we have this story to read, the story of Lazarus, a story that demonstrates God's refusal to allow death to have the final word. Through Jesus, this is a remarkable demonstration of love. But theologically, this passage is difficult, isn't it? So many of us have questions around death. And with the names of all those we raise today and all those who are still in our hearts, we remember, but we have questions. Where is God in the midst of this day of remembrance? Does God still care for us? And we say quietly in our hearts, "Well, the story of Lazarus is not my story. I do not know this story in my heart. I have not experienced this." The nature of God and God's ability has been something that has been argued and debated and plagued the church from ancient times all the way till now. And it plagues not just Christians, but everyone. We do not realize, however, that we are so influenced by Greek philosophy. When we come to these texts, we come with the knowledge of what we thought we learned in school. But we also come with knowledge of those who went before us and who believed and who argued and debated. The Greek philosophical concept of apatheia is what we argue all the time in our world today. It is a belief that God is perfection, and so therefore God is unaffected by the circumstances of the creation. There isn't anything that happens in the world that actually happens to God. Somehow God flung the stars into the universe and then became detached. And we don't really know where God is in the midst of it. God was called, in philosophical times when this was argued, the unmoved mover. The idea that God does not enter into our suffering and our loss. And I hear the arguments today. People will say to me, "Well, even if I can grasp that there is something divine in the world, it's still not really personal. God's not involved in my life. God does not enter into my joy and my suffering. There may be something in the creation, but it isn't personal for me." And I hear it often. But as Christians, we claim that the Word became flesh. Last Sunday, as I was talking to Aiden about his surgery, he asked me a couple of questions, tough questions. I have to tell you that for some reason, seven-year-old little boys find me every year and ask me theological questions. Not girls, always the boy. Peter, oh, they're all over the place. I've got cards on my desk I still haven't answered about how did God begin. But Aiden said to me, do you think, Pastor Betty, that God ever walked around on the earth with like arms and legs? Well, we had a very long and interesting discussion, didn't we, Anita, about that. Did God walk around? It's a good theological question. I can answer it according to the doctrine of the church, but the interesting thing is I cannot answer it for any of you. I know that Jesus walked around and that Jesus was human, or at least so the story of Lazarus says, because it says that Jesus wept, that Jesus was affected by the suffering and loss of his friend and what it was doing to his friend's sisters. In this story, God is not apathetic. There is no apatheia. Jesus wept. God enters into our suffering and our grief. Just as we express our grief, so Jesus expressed his grief. And the question that I always wonder about is, we are raised with the notion that we are created in God's image. We suffer. We feel pain and loss. We feel joy. We feel sorrow. We are made in the image of God. Jesus seems to be truly grieved in this story. It isn't a pretend grief or trying to pretend that he's grieved. There's all kinds of theories that Jesus was pretending to grieve, that Jesus wouldn't really grieve, just as God would not really grieve. Yet I see a man who lost a friend and who loved the sisters of this friend and who wept. How could Jesus walk around for an entire life and commit his whole life to the brokenness of the world if he didn't feel anything? He committed his whole life to the mending of that brokenness. We call ourselves the Easter people. We believe that resurrection is what has the final word and not death, and that is what awaits us. That God's promise is that somehow, some way, we go on. And that no matter where we are in this life or what comes next, we are with God. We are never without God. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Christ is still here today. We come because for some reason we have an understanding of that. Can we explain it to one another? Mostly not. But do we come because there's a word spoken and a song sung and a prayer said and Christ is among us? And we remember Christ is still here. And so is everyone that we've ever lost. Every single soul is still with us. Jesus is with us. They are still with us. And it is more than just a memory. It isn't a looking back and saying, well, yes, I remember them. It is that they took something of us with them, and we have kept something of them with us. And they still influence us. They still teach us and guide us. The souls, the saints, they are all still here, part of who we are and how we grow and how we change. They are not ghosts, these people we once knew, these saints. They help us experience something of the richness and power of life itself. They have gone on to God's promise, but they still have things to say to us, just as Jesus still has things to say to us. And though they are gone, they are not apathetic. They care for us. Christ showed us that God travels with us through time, through space, through every single experience of our life, that God cares about us. Jesus showed us that God cares about us, but we show each other that God cares about us, don't we? In so many ways, the way in which we care for one another is the image of Christ as we have experienced him. God did not fling the stars in the heaven. I do not believe it. I do not believe it. I believe God is in the stars and is here and is in all things, guiding, protecting, loving, forgiving us. The philosophy of apatheia, it cannot hold up under the love and care that we share with one another and the love that was expressed to us through Jesus of Nazareth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We remember today those we love, and we remember that they are with God. And we remember this because we know the one who laid his life down for his friends to show us that God is still here. Amen.